everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
A Yastrzemski and a Biggio doing incredible things last night on the diamond. How great is that? Nostalgia. I miss nostalgia. Nobody does nostalgia like they used to. Also, the latest on Cameron Newton's foot with this paddle. Speaking of nostalgia, look at that paddle. Let's go.
Yeah, throwback.
Our living breathing.
Like 2003 around the board.
These four things throwback I know Wednesday are true.
Throwback Wednesday.
The latest on Cam Newton is unclear. He didn't practice again today. He's wearing Das Boot. Panthers say he's day-to-day with that aggravated foot that he hurt in the preseason. But if it's any indication, Ron Rivera is at a podium talking up Kyle Allen being ready. Kyle Allen being more than ready. Panthers season is at a crossroads right now. 0-2 at Cardinals Sunday. Tim Kalishaw, first to you. How much concern for Cam? How much concern for Carolina?
Oh, a lot of concern. First of all, the concern is the 0-2 record after two home games. The next concern is for Cam and the foot. And Kyle Allen, if you're not ready, you get ready because you're probably going to play this Sunday. He played pretty well at the end of last year. Now it was against the Saints team that was sitting a bunch of their starters. But this, in hindsight, tells us a little bit about those first two games. Cam Newton, the first time in his career, not running the ball for any positive yards. 5 carries, -2 yards. Not even involved in that big play that we talked about at the end when McCaffrey tried to run around the left end. So clearly it's worse than people were led to believe, and who knows if it might be a while.
Do you question the decision to start Cam, to start the season, Tim Kalishaw?
No, because I think he's earned the right to say, I'm ready, I can go on this. And clearly he could move, but he wasn't comfortable.
Bill Plaschke, how much concern?
Huge concern. You know, Cam, I mean, it's not the foot or the leg, it's the shoulder. I mean, clearly, he has the highest percentage of uncatchable balls by any quarterback in the league in the first two games of the season. I didn't know that was a stat, but it's a bad stat. And you can see him. You can see him out there. It's almost like an Andrew Luck situation. They may need to shut him down. The shoulder got repaired in the offseason, but it's
so you're saying this is more about the shoulder. You don't believe the foot. You believe that there is a little bit of a smoke and mirror here.
Oh, there's absolutely. Have you seen him try to throw? It's absolutely the shoulder.
KB, you want to weigh in here?
Well, it's everything. I mean, you look at the laundry list of injuries he's had in the past several years. It is the rotator cuff. It is the knee. He's had a fractured vertebrae. I mean, this guy has just been flat out banged up in this league. And I'm with Bill. I don't think you think about shutting him down. I think you do shut him down because that foot is not going to get any better if you run around on it. You gotta just take the pressure off of it and turn it over to one of these backup quarterbacks. Now, I will say there's another problem here, and the problem is that the Panthers know this history. This guy hasn't been a Pro Bowl quarterback since 2015, and to have him backed up by a rookie in Will Greer and another guy not that far removed from being a rookie seems to me not to be a smart way to put your roster together.
Jackie Mack, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Tim Kalishaw earlier. Do you question the Panthers starting Cam Newton to start the season?
I don't, because one thing I've learned, and I'm sure Tim has through the years too, players want to play, so they never let on exactly how injured they are. So the level of injury, this to me is one of those injuries with the foot. Who can really tell? And I'm with Bill, by the way, when you start talking about the shoulder. Yes, the feet may explain why he's not rushing the ball very much, but there's other things to look back. Tony, they've lost 8 of their last 9 games. Yeah. dating back to last year. Cam Newton doesn't have a rushing or throwing touchdown. This isn't a problem that just happened in game two. This is a problem that's been happening over a big period, a big chunk of time here over the last year for the Panthers.
You believe the Panthers have mismanaged Newton since 2015? We said no Pro Bowls for him. Or do you believe his regression has been on himself? Plaschke, you want to answer that?
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of a combination, but I think it goes back to let's look at what happened to Andrew Luck, and Luck finally had to say enough is enough. I'm not saying Cam should retire, but I think he should follow what Luck should have done and shut himself
down. Then when you tell the story of Newton, is it more about how he's failed in the last 3 years, or is it how the team has failed him?
Well, I think his failure, his injuries failing him to some degree, maybe the team some. We certainly thought he would get back to another Super Bowl after getting there at 27 or 28, and looks like right now maybe that's never going to happen.
Yeah, and I think also the league has failed him. Remember, this is a guy who has flagged officials for not giving him a flag when he suffered all those late hits. They take some responsibility in losing a star like this if he leaves the field.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, though, all this talk about Cam Newton retiring, he's 30 years old. Shut him down for the year, fine, but let's not, like, put the RIP on his career. It's a
little bit everybody, you're absolutely right, Jackie. Everybody is now seeing things differently after Andrew Luck this past summer.
Andrew Luck, absolutely. It changes the way.
I know Bill's putting a lot of stock in that. We haven't heard anything from Cam Newton in this regard. So you guys, that's a little conjecture from you. But the idea here is that he has not been well for years, and I wonder how a team continues to be in this situation, throwing him out there and trying to get him at 80%. We've been horned. We're going to move on. So maybe no Cam Newton this week. No Drew Brees, no Ben Roethlisberger, no Eli Manning, no Nick Foles, no Andrew Luck, no Simeon this week as well. The Saints quarterbacking situation. Sean Payton was at a podium today, and he said he hasn't decided on a starter for Sunday. Quote, we'll approach this game with two quarterbacks, end quote. He's talking about Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, KB. Do you believe that, and could that be the right approach?
Well, I believe that's the only approach. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater is going to be your starter, and as he's done over the last couple of years, Taysom Hill is going to come in into some formations. Now, he's only thrown the ball about 6 or 7 times as an NFL quarterback, but he was a quarterback back at BYU, and so they're going to have to find out some approach. It's going to take two of these guys to fill the shoes of a Drew Brees, and that's exactly what he's going to
do. Okay, but you made an assumption there that Peyton is saying, don't make that assumption, that Teddy Bridgewater is going to start. Jackie Mack, when you hear Peyton come out here and say, we've got two quarterbacks, what do you think?
You know what I think? I looked back because I had some vague recollection of this. And back in August, before Drew Brees got hurt, you know what Peyton said about Taysom Hill? I think he could be the next Steve Young. Go back and look it up. That's what he said in August. What this tells me is Brees is going to be out a while. And if you're Peyton, I want to see what the next guy, the young guy that I think may have a permanent future as my starting quarterback, I want a good look at him. Never mind Teddy Bridgewater.
So you believe this is about getting Taysom Hill the opportunity here to start for this team. Bill Plaschke, how about you?
I'd go one better than Steve Young, Jackie. Steve Young never went over the middle for slant passes like Taysom Hill does. You hear the Saints, people around the Saints talk about it. Hill may be the best athlete on the team. I think this is brilliant by Peyton to not give away his hand, to play him both. They get a real spark from Hill when he's in there. Why not start him and insert Bridgewater whenever? But I think it works perfectly for them. That's why Saints are going 4-2. Without Brees.
Ooh, okay. Tim, in 2019, can you have two quarterbacks playing in the game?
Well, you can have two if they're doing two very different things, and I think that's the case here. I think he wants Seattle to be digging through Teddy Bridgewater's Minnesota tapes and then looking at every play Taysom Hill has run for the Saints for the last 3 years and trying to figure out what's going to happen. I would still imagine that Bridgewater is going to play most of the time, but Peyton's never been shy, even with Brees setting completion records to get Taysom Hill
it's absolutely true.
And run some plays. So he's definitely going to be a
any
factor.
Any fear for playing them both at the same time? If Hill's running slants over the middle, there's always a chance he could get hurt. Or, of course, Bridgewater could get hurt playing quarterback. And now, who's your backup? I mean, Blackstone, is there any fear?
No, but you can't.
You don't worry about that, Jackie. Not at all.
Can't worry about that. Can't worry. You can't go in saying, "Oh, I hope my guys don't get hurt."
Well, I thought about this last week.
Season right now.
I mean, he was the emergency quarterback last week, but there he is running slants in the middle of the game because it is a nice part of their offense. Everyone can acknowledge that. Okay, all right, fine. Plaschke's got them going 4-2 without Drew Brees. I never knew. Lose Drew Brees? No big deal. We'll move on.
I'm serious.
Jason LaCanfora and Tyreek Hill, that famed reporting duo, Woodward and Bernstein for this generation, they think the Chiefs will make a run for Jalen Ramsey. Tyrann Mathieu, writing for a Pulitzer here. What's up, big head? You've already given the Super Bowl to the Patriots, but what are the Chiefs with Ramsey? Do they need to do this, Jackie?
Well, I don't know if they need to do it, but if I'm the Chiefs, I'm going to do everything in my power to make it happen. You want to talk about the Patriots?
Sounds like
they had a rough week from their offensive line, so let's not throw them into the Super Bowl so quickly. But what if you have
a... Hold on a second. They had a rough week in a game they won 43-0. Very rough week. I mean, it's tough. It's tough stuff
they
in
lost,
the Patriots.
They lost their best young offensive lineman. He's on IR. But anyway, that I digress. What I'm trying to tell you is now I can't even remember what
we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll get back to Jackie, and I'll give you that mute back in a second. KB, from the Chiefs' perspective, all right? They were the Super Bowl favorite. Then the Patriots get Antonio Brown, who plays wide receiver. Wouldn't it be great to have Jalen Ramsey match up against him?
It would be fantastic to add an all-pro to a defense that last year was 24th in the nation, right, in the league. And the other thing is, what would the Patriots do if they had this opportunity? Of course they would take him. They took Antonio Brown. They didn't need him. That's what you do in order to win championships. And everybody knows that the Kansas City Chiefs' one weakness is their defense. They need to upgrade it. Now, they got Kendall Fuller back there out of Good Counsel High School. They got Rashad Breeland from Washington. They're back there. He had a couple picks the other day, you know, they struggled in the opener, but they held down the Oakland Raiders the other week. They can still always improve on defense. That's
whether you believe it, the market is a first rounder, maybe more than a first rounder. Kansas City's first round pick would not seem to be a very good first round pick, very back end of that draft, Kalisha. But is this a move they have to make, no matter what it is?
I think they should be all over this. Send them your next two first round picks if that's what it takes.
Ooh.
Just think of the difference he makes on that defense. And they've already got that offense. We are coming up right now on the 50th anniversary of that only Chiefs trip to a Super Bowl, that win over Minnesota, that oddly this entire panel remembers. But so, you know, they've got to do something about that and, you know, get off that and get about the business of getting back to it.
Plaschke?
I don't think it'll cost two first rounders. I think that's too much. I think a first rounder and a player, but the Chiefs definitely need, what they need is someone in overtime last year in the playoffs, Tom Brady had the ball. Mahomes never got the ball back in overtime. They need somebody to stop Brady. They need somebody for January. They need him. But don't sleep on the Chargers. Chargers, Derwin James is pushing to get Ramsey. The Chargers could pay him what they should have paid Melvin Gordon. It could work out in L.A., so don't sleep on the Chargers.
Jackie, I derailed your train of thought. Please, go ahead.
Yeah. I do remember now. What I was going to say is Jalen Ramsey makes so much sense for Kansas City, and you don't even have to worry about paying him later. He's still on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
He's not asking for more money. Do you realize that? He's asking not for a trade and not a new deal.
Yet.
He's willing to play out that deal, win you the Super Bowl that you absolutely must have, that Andy Reid has been yearning for. You got to make this happen.
You're saying he's not asking for more money. Maybe that's just it.
And a good player, two fifths round.
But I understand what you're saying. Remember he had a Brinks truck, or at least an Adidas truck, during camp? There was a little bit of an ask for money. That's always, you know, looming over.
No, he's not asking for money. Pay attention, Tony.
Why are you not talking about my Chargers? Why is nobody talking about my Chargers prediction? Nobody
that wasn't part of the
topic. Talk about
it, Bill. Let's get buy or sell us next.
Everybody wrote it.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Wendy's Spicy Nuggets. Here for a limited time at participating restaurants. Wendy's, we got you. Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Mystics 97, Aces 95, game one. This is how it ended. Vegas on the break last second. Bill Laimbeer wanted a timeout. Didn't get it. Wanted a foul call here on Plum shot with Deladon in the body. Didn't get that either. Kevin Blackstone, you were there by yourself.
Well, I think the coach should have been a little bit more prepared. He should have let his players know in that situation, we get the rebound, we got a timeout, somebody please call it. Don't rely on yelling it out in a raucous arena to the official.
Jackie McMahon?
So, I'm going to disagree with you, KB. He was standing right next to the official. He tried to call timeout. Now, I suppose she's going to say, I haven't heard, that maybe she didn't hear him or whatever. But I think he had a right to that timeout. It probably was a foul, but I wouldn't have called that. But they feel a little bit like the New Orleans Saints of the WNBA. Remember, this was the team last year that had the 18-hour delay trying to fly to the Washington game, and they still made them play the game anyway. It just feels like nothing ever really goes the Aces'
way. Well, it's a game one in a five-game series, so unlike the Saints, they do have another shot at it. Flashkey, how about you?
No, Jackie, I agree with KB. I mean, Kelsey Plum had the ball in her hand. She called timeout. They would have noticed it. Her players should have called timeout. You see this all the time. Coaches always are yelling at officials, and they always seem to miss it, and players need to be the ones to take responsibility, make that
Jim
call.
Jim Kalisha?
I think I'm on Team Jackie here. I mean, if you watch the replay, the ref appears to be right next to him, and Bill Laimbeer has a loud voice, so you can't imagine weren't able to hear that. Now, they're going to get the ball with about 3 seconds. That's not to say they're going to get a great shot. And even he said, this didn't cost us the game, but we could have got a better shot.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two.
Holding. Offense.
Holding. Offense.
Holding. Offense number 61.
A stat you'll never hear anyone brag about. Holding up 66%. In 2 weeks, 178 holding penalties. What does it mean, Bill? And who needs to adjust, referees or players?
The referees need to adjust. Stop throwing the flag. We know they hold on every play. Everybody knows that. Now you start to call it. The fans don't see it. The fans don't care. It's not a player safety issue. Why are you calling more holding calls? You can call it every time. Go back to the way it was. It's slowing down the game. It's hurting the offenses. It's bad for football.
Kalisha?
No, offensive coordinators need to adjust. The more they bend the rules to the offense, defense always finds a way. They just find faster players, and they blitz more, and they get in on the quarterback, and teams aren't prepared for it.
Do you believe the holding calls are a byproduct of offenses trying to do more than they have in the past? You believe this is here to stay?
I think, for one thing, that everybody runs a spread offense now, and you've got five blockers that get overmatched a lot.
KB?
Well, I think the league ought to adjust. As Bill said, you know, you can throw these flags on just about every play, but why is it so egregious? Why not just a 5-yard penalty rather than what it is right now? Make it something like offsides or illegal motion or something like that. Not as egregious a penalty as
Jackie McMahon?
Yeah, but you guys are missing the point. The whole idea was to put more emphasis on the fact that they don't like that these holding calls exist. So we're going to call the flag. We're going to flow it. We're going to throw it early and often. And you know how it goes. As the season wears on, everything will get relaxed, and they won't be throwing the flag quite as much. So just cool your jets, everybody. It's going to be fun.
All right. 66% up, though. I mean, that's an incredible number. If you guys got 66% more mutes, you would feel it as well. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. The tightest race in baseball, the team home run record. Twins and Yankees have set it and broken it every day for the last 2 weeks. Right now, Twins 289, Yankees 287, and Minnesota had five guys with 30, so no, it went to the moon last night. What does that mean for Minnesota, Tim?
You know, the home run thing is fascinating. Two of those five guys haven't even played 100 games. I mean, they're having some incredible seasons. Moving forward, playoffs, no Pineda because he got suspended. Jose Barrios struggling lately. I don't know if it's going to last.
JB?
You know, Earl Weaver with the Orioles used to live with the three-run homer, and right now everybody's hitting home runs at a record pace, right? So this is the way you win baseball games now, so why not win playoff games?
Jackie Mack?
Yeah, so I'm going to read to you the 2009 Yankees, the last time that this happened. 22 home runs, Posada, 39 Teixeira, 30 A-Rod, 24 Johnny Damon, 29 Nick Scherzer, Matsui, 28 home runs, okay? So they won the World Series. When you have that many guys that can hit it out of the yard, it's impossible to pitch around them. I think it's very good news.
Good news. But what's not good news for you is reading right off of your phone and a mute. Bill Plaschke.
I'll read this to you, Jack, off the top of my head. About 15% of the league home run leaders have won the World Series. 15%. This doesn't mean hardly anything. The Dodgers had 234 home runs last year, batted 180 against your Red Sox, hit six home runs in the World Series. Fall, October pitching is different. October defense is different. The way October baseball played is different. It doesn't translate.
Bill, we don't have enough time to talk about your Dodgers, honey.
You're absolutely right that we don't have enough time for either one of you, actually, as a matter of fact.
You guys
can have that conversation on the start. Catalyst Show, Blackstone, that's our showdown.
All right, here we go. That's the showdown.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Jim Callishaw, Kevin Blackstone, good luck in showdown. Yastrzemski and Biggio on the diamond last night. And Mike Yastrzemski, Yazito, Childish Yasbino, Lindsey Adler, a home run in his first game ever at Fenway. Now trails Grandpa by 236. Kevin Biggio hitting for the cycle just like Dad did. Second father-son combo to hit for the cycle in baseball history. What's your top headline, Tim?
I don't want to dismiss the father and son cycle at all, but Yastrzemski hitting a home run in Fenway Park, and Yaz is there. His grandfather, I mean, that was a great scene with Peter Gammons and everyone before the game. Tremendous home run.
That was tremendous. Anybody can get hold of one in this home run era that we're in. But hitting for the cycle? Are you kidding me? That's incredible. We note that anytime it happens in baseball, and it happened last night with a Biggio. Really?
Oh, really? How many times have you noted it this year then, since it's such a big deal? Do you remember how many cycles there have been this season? Six, okay.
I'll get back.
Do you know the other father-son duo? Oh, Gary Ward and Darryl Ward. You're going the wrong way for a cycle man. Let's move on. Showdown 2. Mike Leach on Pac-12 Mascots.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot?
The Bruin, definitely formidable. Mm-hmm. Another bear up there, Cal. Tree, yeah. I imagine that tree's going to get chopped
KB, does Leach have this right?
No, he's totally too dismissive of the tree. I mean, trees have a magical place in our lives. You know, there's the
there
are all sorts of trees that we pray under and do all
trees
sorts of things.
Trees are great,
with.
Kevin, but you want a tree in a fight with bears and a buffalo? Possibly even an armed ute or a Trojan?
Sun Devil knows the dark arts. All right, Tim Kalischel, let's not beat around the bush or the tree. 30 seconds of FaceTime.
This is a story about Dallas, but it could be any city. We all drive through them or fly over them, and we see these old baseball parks in disrepair. We wonder whatever happened to them. Dallas's Reverchon Park, almost 100 years old, sits right by the tollway, surrounded by all these high-rises, all this uptown construction where I live. But it's going to be restored. Credit to two different groups, Donnie Nelson putting a group together, and Clayton and Ellen Kershaw and their foundation, redoing the park, possibly even getting a minor league team.
All right. That's going to do it, folks. 23 and a half hour break. See you tomorrow.
Ernie Banks, true.